Thank you for joining us today on the Basketball Podcast. Brad Newitt here joining you, and we have today with us the head women's coach at the University of Sioux Falls, Travis Traphagen. Trap, thanks for joining me today.
Appreciate it, Brad.
A lot of the general public, you know, when we look at basketball coaches, we see you guys coaching, you know, obviously during the season, November through March or whatever it might be, but tell us a little bit about what goes on in your life, especially here in the summer. We're just getting done with the July recruiting period for you guys.
You know, it's kind of funny you say that because most people see a college coach and they think, oh, man, they just coach during the year. But I said that's such a little part of our job. I think I'd say 60-65% of our job is really in the months of really June through August 1st is we're on the road nonstop out recruiting. The world of recruiting has really kind of changed probably even since I started, because it used to be you go out, recruit high school games, and you still do that. But now with the summer recruiting and AAU teams, I mean, you could go watch so many kids in one event. So, you know, we've been pretty much anywhere from Chicago to Indiana to Florida to Minneapolis to Omaha. I mean, you name it, anywhere really in the Midwest, you know, going to really kind of chase recruits and find new kids to add to our database. So, you know, you add that with camps, and, you know, I haven't had much of a chance to play a lot of golf or anything, but with that transition that we've made from going from NEI to Division II, there's lots of changes that are made. I mean, you really have to work a lot harder earlier, because kids, in particular young ladies, make decisions at a very, very quick pace. So we've been out working hard, and hopefully that hard work pays off. And, you know, I always say when those kids sign on the dotted line, all that hard work definitely pays off.
So, you know, the fact that you guys are out so much in the summertime and you know, gone away a lot, do you look at that as, I mean, do you like that as a coach, being able to have those opportunities? Obviously, you get to see kids play a lot. Or would you prefer to see summer recruiting maybe scaled back as far as how much, though, that there is?
I think when you talk with coaches, and you see probably the one thing why a lot of college coaches get out of the business is the burnout.
Yeah.
You know, because it really is. For us, we've been really on the road since May.
Okay.
You know, going all the way through July, where you look at the Division I coaches, they get 2 10-day periods in the month of July, so they're really out 20 days. You know, I would love to have something like that, because, you know, right now you almost feel like you're required to go out. If you're if you're not going out, some other coach will be and kind of get an advantage on you. So, you know, I personally really enjoy the recruiting aspect. You know, I don't look at it really as a job.
Yeah.
One, you get out there, you got to work hard. But when you can see a lot of your constituents and your other coaches, you know, out on the road, you know, on the women's side of the recruiting, sure, it's dog eat dog. You know, I mean, you're going head to head, but you have a lot of friends, you know, on the road. So, you know, a lot of those 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. in the gym, you know, sure, you work hard watching kids, but at the end of the day, hey, you're still talking to friends and enjoying yourself. So I do really enjoy the recruiting aspect, but I do see now I'm trying to hopefully have a family sometime soon. And when you see young ladies or men that have families that are on the road as much as they are, you could see how some of that, you know, I wouldn't mind probably to get scaled back at some point.
Sure. Another question I have for you is, when you are out, you know, in the summertime, how much of it would you say is actually evaluating player talent versus you already know someone's good enough and you're there more to watch them from more of a recruiting standpoint to support?
You know, I would say just because of how quickly, I think it stems from actually Division I basketball.
Yeah.
You know, you see a lot of Division I schools now getting commitments as freshmen and sophomores. So a lot of those times, I think that's great.
Yeah.
You know, get those kids off the market to begin with.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, early as you get into May and June, you're still probably evaluating a little bit, still watching some kids. But actually, you know, getting into that summer point, we kind of know the kids that we want. But by the time you get to mid-June and July, you know, I guess the term that we use is you're just chasing or babysitting kids that, you know, for those who don't know the rules, it's kind of funny because when we go on the road, hey, we're going to be at every event, but some people maybe think, oh, when you're there, you're going to talk with the kid and the family.
Yeah.
You know, you're hands off. You can't talk to families, this and that. We always say you wear your USF shirt proud, and hopefully they see you there, because that's really all it is being and showing support to these kids. So I would really say mid-June to July, it's chasing kids, but yet on the other side is recruiting's never done. So when we're chasing certain kids, but we're also watching kids for that following year and trying to add kids to that database. So really your job's never done. You want to chase, but you also want to be doing a good job of finding those next year's kids as well to get on your database.
Sure. And I know obviously you can't speak about specific recruits, but at what point or has it already come to this point in the summer where you guys have actually extended some scholarship offers to kids?
Yeah, you know, I would say we actually kind of started extending scholarships, you know, probably in May.
Okay.
Already at this point. So, yeah, we can't comment on a lot of things. I would say going Division II gave us an opportunity to extend scholarship offers at a much earlier time than what we were able to do when we were NEI. Okay. And for us, you know, that drastically, when we were NEI, drastically reduced our talent pool because so many kids were committing so fast that, you know, we couldn't get scholarship offers out soon enough to even have a shot at kids. So, you know, making this transition, I'm really excited because young ladies make decisions probably like we talked about a little bit earlier, Brad, you know, a lot sooner than men do. So, you know, we have offers out. You know, now we can kind of really compare ourselves, you know, head-to-head against a lot of the Northern Sun type of schools.
Sure.
Because we are going head-to-head. We're going to be playing against each other. You know, now it's just a matter of, hey, hopefully me and my staff doing a good job recruiting these young ladies.
Let me change gears here with you a little bit. Again, Travis Traphagen joining us here today on the podcast. Trap, what has been some of the things that have changed for you guys program-wise now that you are moving from NAI to Division II as far as the summertime goes, as far as the players that are already in your program? What kind of restrictions do you guys have now as far as contact goes?
Yeah, that changes immensely. You know, in the past, when you're NEI, you really kind of self-regulated. You didn't have a ton of rules. And you see a lot of NEI programs working their kids out in the summers, having open gyms being there. Well, now it's basically kind of a hands-off type mentality. You know, any open gyms, we can't be there. You know, we like to work out kids where we can't do that anymore. So a lot of the rules are basically in the summer, hands off. Once school starts here, you know, we're not too far off from that at this point. But once school starts, we basically have 4 days. Once school starts, that we can't do anything besides for have a meeting with them. But once we start, you know, we essentially have the NCAA gives us rules that we essentially get 8 hours per week with kids. And a lot of those things have changed now because you used to could never be in the gym with more than four players at any one time. You know, you could do individual workouts. Well, the NCAA kind of deregulated some of that. Now we have some big decisions to make that we still get 8 hours per week with each kid before practice starts. But if we want to use that as a team practice, is 2 hours a week, we can sure do that. We can split it between, you know, the whole team and individual type workouts. So being something that's going to be new, you know, our staff is going to have to kind of get together and decide. So, you know, a lot of things have changed because you are almost ready when you're at the NEI level. You got to watch kids and work them out so much throughout the summer that you just kind of, hey, you knew what you had going into it. And now, you know, that's probably the hardest transition for me is knowing that just the things that we can't do with our kids. So, but again, it's no different than the recruiting, you know, kind of deregulating and putting different rules in place isn't a bad thing at all.
That was one of the things I wanted to follow up with and does there come a point where there may be boundaries like that are somewhat healthy to not only the player psyche, I mean, the basketball season's a long season, and I would imagine that's why some of that's in place.
And we really stress in our program, in all honesty, most people think I'm a young coach and we're going to take everything to the limit. You know, we really stress quality versus quantity. You know, I think in our business, more coaches think more is always better.
Yeah.
If somebody lifts weights, some team lifts for an hour, the next team wants to lift for two. You know, if somebody practices for 2 hours, the next team wants to practice for three just to say you're going to have that advantage. But I think at some point, the rules that the NCAA have in place is a good thing. You know, there has to be that point that, hey, that you're just not going to get anything more out of your return. So, you know, from that standpoint, is I agree with all those things. Is, hey, I think 215 for practices is more than enough.
Yeah.
Individuals, I mean, I don't know any more to teach them after an hour. You know, so I think those things are going to be really good for us.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, as you look at the NCAA and the rules, and I'm sure you guys have gotten more into this now, moving to Division II, is, you know, I've always heard the NCAA say that their number one objective is to create, first of all, a level playing field, and then probably their second objective is to always keep the student athlete balance in mind. And would you agree with that as you move that way?
Definitely. And it's amazing from my times that I spent 2 years at Wayne State with Coach Williams there, and then spent 6 years with Coach Krauth at Augie. You know, the one thing that you've really seen the NCAA really push for at the Division II level is something called the Life and Balance Act.
Okay.
So, you know, we've even went from, you know, a couple years ago playing 27 games. Well, we're now down to 26.
Okay.
You know, they're trying to institute a lot of different rules preseason-wise, how much time you can have with your kids. And I always say, you know, I'm all about that, but also there's got to be a boundary set, because you don't see a lot of those limitations at the Division I level.
Yes.
You know, you see them just getting more and more and more, where at our level it's going less and less. So, you know, I think, you know, if the NCAA really looks at it and has a nice balance, you know, you don't want to take away everything that we do preseason. You don't want to do too much. But I think, you know, at the Division II, it should be about life and balance. And, you know, some of the rules that they've put on, I wouldn't say I'm against. But, again, as a young coach, you know, I'm always one of those guys that you see a lot of state schools.
Yeah.
They start school here the 22nd of August.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't start until the 7th, you know. Yeah. So as a coach, I'm like, man, they're getting a couple more weeks with their kids than what we are. But at some point, we just going to have to stress the quality time that we have with our kids when they do get in.
Sure. Well, it sounds like you guys have got a lot of exciting horizons ahead of you here, venturing into Division II this year. And thanks for joining us today and giving us a little insight on what summer's like for a college basketball coach. And sure hope we can visit with you again here before your season gets kicked off.
Appreciate it, Brad.
All right. Thanks.